My name is Khalid Nadvi. I'm a reader in international development at the University of Manchester, and I'm also the research program coordinator for the ESRC's Rising Powers and Interdependent Futures program.
Well, Khalid, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Centre for Business Research podcast series today, looking at law and finance in rising powers at our workshop. Tell me a little bit about the title of your paper and what you said.
Our paper has been looking at how are changing labour regulations impacting on labour standards in China. The paper that we presented is an introduction to a special issue of the International Labour Review, which is on this theme that is coming out in December 2014. And what we're trying to look at is how does the rise in labour regulations that we have seen in China in recent years impact on questions around labour standards, working condition, labour rights.
Because we always hear of deaths, bad working conditions in China, autocratic rule, substandard working conditions and therefore low prices and high exports. Is that a good summary, or are things improving?
I think things are changing, and what we are beginning to see in these changes is that increasingly there is an improvement in real wages that we have seen. There's been a lot of labour activism, in fact, grassroots activism, wildcat strikes and so on. And one of the consequences of that is that there has been a rise in labour wages, real wages, in much of the region along the coastal belt, in the Pearl River Delta, in the province of Guangdong. But at the same time, the nature of the labor regime in China and the working conditions in China is varied. So as you move further inland into inner provinces, you might still see very poor conditions and very harsh working environments.
But in its industrialized zones, which have grown really rapidly over the past 15 years, there is proper labor organization and a rise in standards and a desire by the employers and government to improve standards. That's quite a loaded question.
I think there is certainly an interest by the state to engage on this question of standards, of labour regulation. But the state in China operates at multiple levels. And so what you might see in terms of legislation that comes out from central government may not necessarily be implemented in similar ways across all levels of local government.
You did draw that difference, didn't you, between the national, regional and local government and saying that they're trying to work together?
Well, what I was trying to say is that we need to do more analysis of the ways in which national, regional and local levels of government engage with this agenda. Looking at labour regulations per se and the laws that have been passed is not going to be enough. We need to see how they get implemented. And what our evidence is pointing to is that the nature of that implementation varies at the local level, and there are reasons why those variations take place.
And you talked about an Anglo-Saxon approach and there being competition between firms, but there was one defining moment in China, the Honda strike.
So the Anglo-Saxon approach refers to this view as to how labour inspectorates should work. In some parts of the world, labour inspectors come in and they impose the law, and they're there to put in putative measures to make sure that labour regulations are being met. There's an argument, there's an alternative way of doing it, where labour inspectors work with local firms that are in contravention of laws and see what the root causes of those contraventions are and try and address those. That's often been described in the literature as a Latin approach, where before you put in the measures to fine firms, you actually look at ways in which you might help them to address the problems in the first place. And in many parts of the world, particularly in parts of Latin America, we see very effective mechanisms for labour inspector regimes to engage with this. We don't see that in China. And the labour inspector regime in China is still a relatively weak labour inspector regime. That's one of the arguments that we were making in the paper. The other thing that we've seen in China has been some really important events that have pointed to grassroots activism and wildcat strike, one of which was the Honda strike that took place in 2010 in the Honda engine plant. Another was the series of suicides that took place in Foxconn. And then most recently, the strike that took place in the shoe factory of Yuyuan, the supplier to Adidas and Nike, earlier this year. And all of these were wildcat actions. They were not organized actions. They were wildcat actions. And what distinguishes the strikes from the suicides is that strikes are ones where we see collective organization at the enterprise level, workers trying to organize for their rights. And I think those are important moments because we are seeing more and more evidence of workers exercising their voice.
And solutions.
And solutions, well, solutions are a very slow process, but I think it's what we're seeing is a evolving journey in China, and the state is also aware of this, is cognizant of this, and is trying to also, I think, engage with this, but at varying levels.
And just finally, if we look at today's workshop on law and finance in rising powers, if you were to look at the position of China today compared to Russia or Brazil, or we had another paper looking at Hungarian firms, do you think perhaps China comes out of this comparison better than one might expect?
Better is a loaded point. What I see is trajectories. I think of these four countries that you pointed out, the most interesting is Brazil. Brazil is a really fascinating story of the ways in which regulation around law, around finance, around labor standards have really moved ahead. So Brazil is a very interesting, almost an outlier. China falls somewhere in the middle on that. And Russia is on the other extreme, where we don't see very strong legal institutions beginning to take effect. And so therefore, we see all sorts of issues around corruption and so on.
Thank you very much indeed, Khaled, for talking to us.
My pleasure.